So this morning we're going to talk on the topic of friendship. And I'd like to begin by looking at Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, verse number 24. And it tells us here, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It is amazing to look through the Bible and find gems that are so simple sometimes, because many people say that, well, the Bible is just too hard to understand. But how can anyone who reads this misunderstand it? The Bible recognizes that we need friends to help make it through our lives and to be happy. There are a few who try to live life on their own. They feel they are islands with no dependence on anyone else. They are misfits and they never find out what life is all about. A young boy was asked his definition of a friend, and he said, someone who knows me and still likes me. And he meant the real me, because a lot of times people might like us, but do they like the real me? And so that was a really good definition. A family was moving to a new territory, and they were driving in their car, and they stopped and they asked people, because there's a certain area they were going to live in, are people friendly around here? And a person responded to the question and said, well, were they friendly where you used to live? And the response was, well, no, they weren't too friendly there. And the person said, well, they're not too friendly here either. Because if we don't try to be friendly with others, we can't expect them to be friendly with us. But today I'd like to notice some things about friendship so that we can be better friends of people, because life is all about relationships. And so let us first look at the qualities of being friendly. There's probably a lot more qualities, but we're going to look at three things: love, sympathy, and sacrifice. And first of all, we're going to look at love. And so let's look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, and verses 1 through 4, because David and Jonathan really are perfect examples of friendship. And we're not going to go through the whole thing, but we're going to do a lesson on Jonathan in a few weeks, so, or maybe even next week. So here in 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David, with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So we see here that they were friends, even though there were many things in their lives that could have caused them to be enemies and to actually hate one another. Even at this time, Jonathan surely knew that David was going to sit upon his throne, because by right, the throne was Jonathan. Jesus. But he still loved David. And Saul, Jonathan's father, wanted to kill David because of this. However, Jonathan loved David and did what he could to protect David while risking, he was willing to risk his own life. He cared more about David than about material wealth. He cared more about David than the position of power. Later it tells us in 2 Samuel, the first chapter, we're not going to read the whole thing, but here it talks about the death of Saul and also the death of Jonathan. But in 2 Samuel, the first chapter, and we'll read let's read verse 25 through 27. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was slain in your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perished. Again, we see here David's great love he had for Jonathan. And it tells us also later when David wanted to know if there was any of Jonathan's household still alive, that he took care of Mephibosheth. However, the qualities of love for us are set forth in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 4 through 7. It says there that love suffers long. And so as to be a true friend, we must be willing to suffer long with someone. It's kind. It does not envy. It doesn't parade itself. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek his own. It's not provoked. Love thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and it endures all things. This is the type of love we must possess to be true friends. As we consider the qualities of love, something is missing. Jealousy. And there is no place in friendship for jealousy. Can you imagine Jonathan being jealous of David? I can imagine it. He would be king. I'm supposed to be king. He would receive the praise from all the people. The praise that I'm supposed to receive. However, we would not feel as highly of Jonathan if that's the way he was. And if we are jealous of other people, it is obvious people aren't going to feel as highly about us. You know, love, life without love is worthless. And love will last forever. Jesus said a few things about love in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, and verses 37 through 40. And our Lord and Savior told us here, he says, let's go back to verse number 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he silenced the Sadducees, he gathered together them. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Again, the best use of life is love. To love God, to love your neighbor, to love and show friendship toward others. In 1 Corinthians 13:3, it tells us that life without love is useless. And life without love is also worthless. And the best expression we can make of love is time. Let's see what Jesus said in Matthew 25, 34 through 46. Matthew 25, 34 through 46. Jesus says here, "Then the king will say to those on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it to me." See, this is about relationships. It's about friendships. It's about doing good for other people, loving other people. Then he also said to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, you did not visit me." And they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" And he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of these, the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Again, the best expression of love is to spend our time in serving others and showing ourselves as friends to others. And the best time to love is now. And so, again, we need to have, within friendship, we need to have the quality of love. The second quality I like to talk about is sympathy. This quality of friendship is seen, maybe not in the best way, but it's seen in the book of Job. Job had been rich, and yet he had been godly. That was an unusual thing for people to be rich and also godly. Yet he lost absolutely everything. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. He lost his health. He lost everything he had. He didn't lose God. When Job's friends heard about his condition, they came. And they came with the purpose of helping Job out. In Job the second chapter, and verse number 11, and it tells us here in Job 2:11, after Job loses everything, it says this. It says, "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Nahamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come, and this was the reason, and mourn with him and to comfort him." And it says here, "And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept, and each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great." So they came to do him good. They came to mourn with Job, to encourage him. They came to build him up. They had sympathy for Job. Great sympathy. we need sympathy for our friends. In Romans 12:15, as Paul is writing to the Roman brethren, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice. But then he also says, weep with those who weep. How pleasant it is to just to show expressions of courtesy, of concern, and friendship. Little things like when you see somebody, you ask them, how are you doing? How's everything going in your life? Or even just saying thank you, excuse me, showing, you know, being polite. This is part, you know, Jesus wants us to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. When one member suffers physically, or a friend suffers physically, how often do we call or visit to show them our concern? Or are we more concerned about worldly pleasures, or are we more concerned just about ourselves? Again, we need to show sympathy toward other people. In real friendship, people experience sympathy. Entering in and sharing, being willing to share the pain with others. Sympathy says, I understand what you are going through. I understand what you are feeling. Sympathy in friendship meets two human needs. The need, we all have a need to be understood, and we have a need to have our feelings at times validated. Every time you understand and affirm somebody's feeling, you build fellowship and friendship. You know, self-pity, however, that basically dries up. It dries up sympathy for others. So we need to desire friendship and to enter each other's pain, each other's grief, to carry each other's burdens. And in Galatians, the sixth chapter, as Paul is writing to the brethren at Galatia, verse number 2, it says here, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So it is in times of deep crisis, of grief and doubt, we need friends the most. Again, when circumstances crush us to the point where our faith at times can falter, that is when we need spiritual friends to help us make it through. And that's what Job desperately needed. I know they were trying their best, but Job cries out in Job the sixth chapter, verse 14, to him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. He needed kindness to be shown by his friends. Again, a second quality of friendship, sympathy. And then sacrifice is, of course, a very important part of friendship. Jesus explained this quality of friendship. He said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Laying down your life for the life of your friend. That's what Jesus did. But he not only laid down his life for his friends, he laid down his life for his enemies. Friendship means sacrifice. It means one is willing to give up something. It doesn't mean someone becomes your servant, but you're willing to serve others. It is often misplaced and misguided idea that a friend is someone who is at your you know, whim and bidding or call. The story is told of a man. This is not a true story, and I guess you would gather that as I'm going to tell you this, because this is not how it is in the Bible. But there was a man who went to hell, and he prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly to be delivered, and the answer came that deliverance was going to come soon. Again, this is not scriptural at all. Okay, so he continued to pray and wait, and one day, and this is how ridiculous the story is, one day a carrot came down tied to a thin thread. And he thought, surely this is not my deliverance, how could it be? But he decided that he would grab the carrot and move upward, and it started to move upward. And he thought, this is never going to last. The thread is going to break. And others around him saw him, however, he was ascending from this hell, and nobody wanted to be there. And so they began to grab onto him to be carried upward also. The man who was holding on to the thread originally, he kicked the other people off. He didn't want them to be delivered. He only wanted to be delivered himself. So the thread broke as soon as that happened. And a voice came. The thread was strong enough for all, but it was not strong enough for just one. And so we should not, I just think there's a moral to that story for us. We should not be trying to get to heaven alone, because if we are, we're never going to make it there. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Again, we need to be willing to sacrifice our lives, realizing if we really are friends to somebody, will we not care about the most important thing they have, which is their soul? So let us make sure that we are showing our friendship by making a sacrifice for them, that they might be able to hear the gospel and hear about the love of Jesus and possibly obey. Indeed, that would be important. And so, qualities of friendship: love, sympathy, sacrifice, and the value of friendship. First of all, something we might not like: helpful criticism. The wounds of a friend are faithful and valuable. Let's look at Proverbs again. Proverbs the 27th chapter, verse number 6. And it tells us here, it says here, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Sometimes friends do or tell us things that, guess what? If they're friends, at times they will tell us things that actually might hurt our feelings. If those things that they tell us are right, if the things that they tell us are truthful, they are indeed our friend. And we should not turn against them, but we should consider what they have told us and make the proper changes in our life so that we might better serve God. Paul rebuked Peter because of his error in Galatians, the second chapter, verses 11 through 14. And it tells us here, it says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him. This is talking about Paul. I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, so when the Jews ended up coming, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision, fearing what men would think or what men would do. And the rest of the Jews, who also play the hypocrite with him. They followed his example, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as Jews? Really, Paul was Peter's friend. He was Peter's friend for telling him the truth and straightening him out. Peter basically accepted the criticism. And so we need to realize that part of friendship is helpful criticism. And part of friendship also is hearty counsel. Let's look at back to Proverbs, the 27th chapter. Proverbs, the 27th chapter, and verses 9 and 10. And it says here, it says, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight, but by hearty counsel. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. So friends are valuable because they can give us helpful advice and instruction. And we should not think lightly of those who, you know, it wouldn't be me. Most of us are too old to have fathers on the earth anymore, but if you have your father's friends can give you advice, they will help even though we don't know them very well. That's what it's talking about. Sometimes friends do not know what to say, but they try to say the right thing. Job's friends did the very best they could, but they did not really know Job's condition. If we go back to Job, the 16th chapter, in Job the 16th chapter, in verses 1 through 5. And it tells us here, it says, then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things, miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of the wind have an end? Or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's place, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief. Again, this is what Job needed, and he wasn't receiving from his friends. And another thing about the value of friendship is loyal companionship. A friend loves at all times, it tells us in Proverbs, the 17th chapter, verse number 17. There is a Greek proverb that says, one man is no man. God has built us all with the idea that being alone is not any fun. When we play, we like to have, like when we're young, we like to have a playmate usually. When we laugh, it is easier to laugh with someone laughing with us. Again, when we learn knowledge, we want to share it. Again, men's happiest times is not attaining information, but sharing information. A man was walking in the hills of Ireland, and in a distance, what he did is he saw, it was a very sunny day, and in a distance, he saw a monster. This isn't true. It wasn't really a monster. As he got closer, he realized that he saw a man. And after a while, as he walked, he recognized the man was his brother. We need to get closer. We need to get closer to people around us, to recognize who they really are. Because Jesus came to be our friend as we sung the one song today. He's my friend. He came to be our friend. Let's look at Matthew, because some people might say, well, I'm so mean, I'm so terrible, no one likes me, I'm the worst of the worst. That's what my grandson says, things like that at times. But in Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 10 through 13, here it says about Jesus, "Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' And when Jesus heard that, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means: I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Jesus came to be a friend. To be a friend for those who needed help. We all needed help, but some didn't recognize it. He came to be a friend of those who knew they needed help. The sinners of the world, you and me. Again, people that the Pharisees would not even associate with, Jesus was with. Sometimes we think, you know, as Christians, hopefully we don't have the attitude, we shouldn't associate with those people. We should be a light shining in the world of darkness. And if spiritually we care about their souls, we need to tell them about Jesus. Some complain about not having friends, and if you do not have a friend, it is your fault, because Jesus will be your friend. Because Jesus, the qualities of friendship, Jesus loves you. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 through 30. We're all familiar with this. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle." Well, let's go back to verse 28. Verse 28 says, if when I can find the 28 here, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Again, we know that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus loves you. That's the first quality of friendship we talked about. Jesus also sympathizes with you. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and we're just going to read some of the scriptures to show that Jesus meets the qualifications of being our friend. It says in Hebrews 4:15, we'll go back to 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." And then in verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." That means he can sympathize with our weaknesses. "But was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin." So he loves you. He sympathizes for you. And he has made a great sacrifice in laying down his life for you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Yet he was willing to lay down his life for his enemies. And so Jesus will provide you with helpful criticism. In Luke 6:46, he said, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And he gives hearty counsel to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love neighbor as self. Those are the two things that we need to do. And he provides loyal companionship. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, in verses 5 and 6, it says here, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Jesus will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Jesus came to be your friend. And so the question is, will we be his friends? In John, the 14th chapter, two more verses, John 14 and verse number 15. And it tells us here in John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so in order to show our love and friendship for Jesus, we need to keep his commandments. And then in John 15, 14, he talks about this friendship. And we can go back to verse 11 or 12. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Again, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Of course, he's talking here to the apostles, but all these things have been made known to us through the guidance, the Holy Spirit guiding them into all truth and writing it down for us today. So again, friendship is something that is very important. We're going to be talking more about relationships with people. We're going to talk about that neighbor of mine, and we also will talk about the great love that Jonathan had for David in the coming weeks. So let us always, you know, show love and sympathy and be willing to sacrifice for others so that we truly are friends to them and care enough about their souls to realize that we can't go to heaven by ourselves. We need to do our best to tell others about Jesus, the greatest friend that we ever will have on this earth. So thankful for his friendship, and help us to be friends of Jesus by doing as he has commanded us to do.